indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the roll call. Mike?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Morgan?
Here.
Councilmember Edelman?
Here.
Councilmember Weber?
Here.
Councilmember Taylor?
Here.
Okay, we do have a couple of presentations. My first presentation is going to be to Ron Taylor.
Oh, my.
Maybe I'll leave my glasses. So do you want to come up here? Somebody will take a picture.
Oh, you got your camera? Okay. Thank you.
I'd like to make a motion to amend the agenda to move our executive session to after the second comment period.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So we will move the... Pardon me?
You have a comment?
I'd like to be recognized. I'd like to move that our agenda be amended to hold item 4 until our first meeting in January.
To do what?
To move our agenda to be amended to hold item 4 until our first meeting in January. That's the concurrency ordinance.
And I second it.
Is there any discussion?
I'd like to know why. What's your rationale?
Well, you know, the concurrency ordinance is very important, obviously. There's no urgency that we have to pass it tonight. I'd like to fully consider all the comments that Mr. Rimbos and the technical advisory team have to put in. And I'd also like to have the opportunity to prepare some amendments with assistance from staff and Mr. Rimbos. We have time to make sure that this is done correctly and that it's the best that it can be.
I'd like to respond to that. We have had multiple meetings on this subject. We have had multiple public comments which have been incorporated.
Public hearings.
Public hearings that have been incorporated. The comments that Mr. Rimbo still has are valid comments, but they are not valid for the ordinance. They are part of the permitting system after, when people come in after the fact. This is our attorney's effort at concurrency. She knows what she's doing. And I don't think we need to postpone this.
Erica?
I'd just like to say that I received on this subject some more information since 3 o'clock today. I haven't had a chance to read it and look it over. And that's the reason why I seconded the motion. I just think it's appropriate to give us a chance to read the information that the staff and the citizens have added to what we have before we vote on it. Yes. This is really super, it's really, really super important about how this is constructed and how it goes forward and where the financial assurances are and all that.
I just want to point out that the reason those were late is they got left out of the packet. They were supposed to be included in the packet last Friday.
I'm sorry, I can't see what isn't in the packet.
Okay, but may I make another comment, please? Because this concurrency ordinance has nothing to do with the Yarrow Bay Villages and Lawson Hills development. That concurrency has already been approved by the hearing examiner. The concurrency obligations are already called out. This ordinance has to do with future development. So,
Councilmember Taylor?
I have been on the fence on this all along, and in the last several days, I've changed my mind two or three times, so I'm probably going to make the swing vote here. I have felt like that the technical committee has certainly done some excellent work putting together some good comments and some good input. It's unfortunate we're down to the 11th hour here. I was a little disappointed that we didn't actually, I didn't feel like that we got an address from staff directly on those comments until just recently. I'm strongly motivated to defer to the technical committee and their input. On the other hand, I also feel like this is extremely important to get on the books, and I would really like to see it get on the books this year. So I think I'm going to come down on the side of the fence that I'm going to go ahead and support having this go forward.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor of postponing this till January?
Aye.
Say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
No.
Me.
No.
Okay, the motion does not carry. Okay, I would accept a motion for the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. This is time for public comments. Persons wishing to address City Council regarding items of new business are encouraged to do so at this time. When recognized by the mayor, please come to the podium and clearly state your name and address. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes. If you desire a formal agenda placement, please contact the city clerk. Bill?
About the council member that she may have a conflict of interest in regards to the agenda and the denial of the check. resolution number 15-1061, the incentive assignment of certain water supply agreements. And appendix N with resolution number 15-1061, confirmation of assignment of MTV funding agreements. As I understand it, September 2015, the Supreme Court of Washington awarded a number of fees and attorney fees paid by a board of responsible development. Councilmember Edwards, his husband, is the presiding officer of the board of responsible development, and so he and his spouse were the developer a large sum of money. Because of this, it would seem that voting items 9 and 10 is a significant conflict of interest for the councilman. I think it's important that the city work in an appropriate legal manner and avoid the conflict of interest. Please address this concern as appropriate.
Is there anybody else wishing to address council? Brock?
I'm Brock Eady, 3242 First Avenue, Black Diamond. And I have some comments about resolution number 15-1060, which has to do with the running of the gym that's here in Black Diamond. I'm currently part of the team that runs the gym, so when I saw this, there's some questions I had and some clarification that I need to be. So I noticed some. I'll just go over real quick. Under section 2 of the definitions, it says applicants must be at least 18 years of age. Our goal is to try to get as many people into that gym as possible. And what we'd like to do is not eliminate anybody. So we were trying to go for like 12 and older, and hopefully we can, if there's a bunch of kids that want to rent that out for some basketball or whatever, that we can go ahead and work that out somehow. And I'm not sure how how we do that, or if we just lower the age to 12, or have to be.
I don't think it would be whoever the sponsor would be the applicant, I think. It wouldn't be the kids.
So they would have to have an adult with them then?
Not every one of them, just somebody that's sponsoring the event. So if you're going to be the applicant, guys are going to be the applicant,
right,
and you're sponsoring the event, then you don't need it to have 18 and over.
Okay.
It's just whoever's sponsoring the event.
Okay. And then section 4, item number 2. It says number 5 is failure to leave a closed facility. Not sure what closed means.
Like when the event is done.
Oh, okay.
And so let's say it's supposed to be over at 8 o'clock and somebody doesn't leave. You have to have some consequence when somebody doesn't leave.
All right. section 5, availability of public facility. It says permission to use a public facility includes the use of specified entrance and exit and the restrooms. The use of other areas is prohibited. Does that mean that the stage is off limits as well as the upstairs offices are off limits?
Yes.
Is that okay? There's also an item 4 there about holidays and closures. So if somebody's reserved it and it's closed because of weather or some other adverse reason, it says that it would be closed. They would not be able to go. So obviously, they would be able to get their deposit back and their rent back.
Okay.
So, and then we talk about application for use. It's noted that there should be a 7-day period prior to the rental that the renter needs to apply 7 days in advance. A lot of what we do is over the phone, and we have people calling us that have been there before, and they want to rent it for tomorrow. And what we want to try to do is make sure that we can continue to do that so that we don't block people out. So if the wording could be changed to say I don't know. 7 days is a long time. A lot of the people that we deal with are spur of the moment, yeah. So we'd like to see that change to, you know, really, I could take a phone call now and have somebody in there in an hour. If we could do that, that would be the best.
So you could shorten up that time if the facility was available.
But right.
If it's totally booked,
okay.
Then you want to make sure that they reserve it in advance.
Okay. Understood. Okay. Okay, that was good. There's also a comment, Section 7, city personnel and the use of city equipment. Number 8, user-owned equipment and supplies. Item C talks about non-city user. Any item belonging to non-city user, which I'm assuming is anybody that's renting it that isn't part of the city, non-city user?
Yeah, but I think like we're going to have a special contract with Karen for the Jazzercise thing. So
that's what I was going to ask.
It says stuff stored.
Right. So any item belonging to a non-city user must be removed from the public facility before the end of the scheduled time. And that was what I was going to ask
That will be an exception.
Okay. So in the term non-city user is anybody outside of the city or anybody that doesn't work for the city or what's that terminology mean? Non-city.
Carol? Do you remember what the intent was?
It was a non-city user, someone who wasn't an employee of the city weren't using city, you know, equipment and stuff like that. That was the intent. If someone was renting the facility, then they were a non-city.
Okay. And then the whole insurance requirement was... It seems excessive, if I'm dealing with somebody that is just going in there, wants an hour to play basketball with their friends, I need to know how to ask and how to verify that they've got this kind of insurance. And that's just education for me. But again, I'm hoping to be able to rent that to anybody. And if they don't have $1 million worth of liability insurance, and then from Section 10, Item B, that means that they can't rent the facility. So I don't.
Well, Karen,
maybe
I have to tell you that I know that Karen has the insurance. So if it's somebody that's going to be renting it recurringly and has the insurance, then we would require it. Carol would probably have to address it. If it's just somebody coming in to play basketball or whatever.
Yeah. Well, this was the insurance requirement from the city's insurance pool. So they came up with this, and we could probably call them and find out how easy this is to get. I don't think it's as difficult to get as you might think. And the proof of insurance is just this form that you get from your...
it's a piece of paper that you can get faxed to you.
Yeah. It's just like one page, and it just shows that all these insurance requirements have been satisfied.
Okay.
So.
Okay, well, you know, we're trying to get it so that anybody can rent it whenever they want to, so that we can get people in there. And what would work is if we could get together, go through it, and make it a little bit more user friendly for me, so I can understand a little better, and so that we can make sure that we're not closing the door on anybody, because that's what we want to make sure it's open to as many people as we can. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks. And the artwork on the wall.
Does anybody else like to address council? Colin?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. For the record, Colin Lund. And I just wanted to acknowledge that we do have two resolutions that we've asked come before you tonight. And as you've likely heard, we've brought a new financial partner onto our team. But in doing so, I want to make sure that you recognize and understand that we as the master developer will continue in that role going forward. And you'll still get to enjoy the team that's behind me, led by Brian Ross and Justin and myself doing, you know, the daily work that the interactions between the MDRT and our team. But we've been working diligently for the last, call it weeks, with the MDRT and the city attorney to ensure the proper documents are in place and a smooth transition with the new financial partner. So I thank you for your consideration of those items tonight. I also wanted to just acknowledge you may have seen a little bit of activity out on the site in the last week or two. We're preparing to move some job trailers on site in preparation of a 2016 construction season. And we've asked the city clerk, Brenda, for some time on your January agenda to come before you and give you a more thorough update of the construction activities that we anticipate in the coming season. So thank you.
Is there anybody else wishing to address council? Mr. Rimbos?
I don't know if I can do this without glasses, but I'll try. Peter Rimbos, 19711 241st Avenue, Southeast Maple Valley. I'm speaking tonight on behalf of the technical team. There's a lot to say, and I have to react to what I heard tonight as well. First of all, I think, as you all know, we want a concurrency ordinance. We proposed one 5 years ago, so we're all for it. We want to get it right. That's been our problem. First, I want to congratulate and thank Ms. Morris and Mr. Botcher for putting together a very good ordinance. They did a lot of work on it. So did we. And we think there's still more work to be done. Just so you know that we're not just whistling in the wind, our five members possess over 150 years of experience in complex technical documents, research, preparation, review, critique, approval, and disapproval. We have applied that experience to ensuring the city's current concurrency ordinance meets the needs and desires of its citizens. In addition to that, as part of my council duties as an unincorporated area councilman in the Greater Maple Valley area, I have worked for the last 10 years with King County on concurrency. I work with the City of Maple Valley on concurrency. I do want to clarify two of our comments, because we gave you both technical comments and two financial slash legal comments. The two legal comments are the same thing. They had to do with financial commitment, which relates to the RCWs. And we had originally told you that we would like you to change the words that you have in parentheses that talks about embodied in an enforceable development agreement and secured by whatever. We now think it makes more sense and it's more consistent to just get rid of the parenthetical expression completely and stick with the RCW words, financial commitment. That said, we strongly stand behind our well-researched technical documents, and we're more than willing to sit down and talk with any of you in detail about them. Further, I heard a couple things tonight that I need to respond to. I believe I know Mr. Obrecht's transportation comments, recommendations, decisions, facts, and data on transportation in all the preliminary plat hearings and the MPD hearings almost by heart. That's a sad story, but that's the case. My understanding, and in my discussions with Mr. Obrecht, his understanding, and let's start off with the RCWs. Concurrency is not vested. That's a fact. We're not here to debate that. It's not vested. PP1A and PP2C have been approved as preliminary plats based on transportation impact analyses, TIAs, and those have been approved. Okay. There's a lot more after that. Possibly 5,000 more units and commercial units. None of that's vested. Once you reach 850 building permits issued, you will be able to exercise a new transportation demand model along with different assumptions and go through that analysis. And go through that analysis as many times as you desire, because that's what the conditions of approval say. If you want me to give you the numbers and the paragraphs and the lines, I will. So, everything after PP2C is still subject to more traffic analysis. In fact, that's your best tool to protect your city, and the reason I'm here, to protect the region. If it doesn't make sense, you make some decisions. Concurrency allows you to do that. That's the purpose of concurrency. That's why it's part of the Growth Management Act. Make use of it. If you don't, we'll be back here constantly talking to you about it, because that's the law, and that's what you should be doing for the citizens. So we request that you please consider our comments in depth and in context, and if necessary, please don't vote on it tonight. There is no hurry on this concurrency ordinance. You're hearing that from the team that wants you to pass a concurrency ordinance. That should give you pause. We want you to do this. Just get it right. There's no hurry. No gremlins disappear after tonight and come back on in January. I'll be back here January 7th talking to you about the concurrency ordinance, telling you the same things. I don't care who's sitting in the chairs. I'll be telling you the same things. And I want you to consider those because they're important. So if you have any questions, you can talk to us afterward. I've personally spoken to every one of you several times, and I'm more than willing to do that
again.
Time
is up.
I know, but Brock talked for a long time, so my time is not up yet.
I'm sorry, point
minutes.
Of order. That, you know, we do have council rules here, and you get 3 minutes. I'm sorry.
I timed Brock's talk, and he was more
than
3 minutes.
Well, he should have been called on it, too.
Okay. Well, luckily, I'm near the end, but please give people a chance to finish what they're saying. Thank you. Oh, and one more thing. As Steve Jobs used to say, I want to thank both Craig Goodwin, who is not here tonight, and Ron Taylor for their service, and I hope they continue their service as citizens, because there's a heck of a lot to do. So, thank you.
Robin.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. Robin Taylor, 32110 Botts Drive, Black Diamond. As Bill McDermott claimed that Councilmember Edelman should recuse herself from voting on these two resolutions, 1061 and 1062. These are agreements between the village's LP Loss and LP and Crown Community Development. And in these agreements, the city has to approve certain ones, and apparently these are a couple that need to be approved by the city. I see nothing in here unless council would recommend that Councilmember Edelman recuse herself. I see nothing in here that would preclude her from voting on these two resolutions. Thank you.
Is there anybody else wishing to comment? I'll close this public comment period. Oh, sorry, Gary.
Sure. I did not call her about that. Okay, two items. One, they're still sending me 2016 calendars. I've got more calendars. There are one, there's two here. One's from the Nature Conservancy. The other's Pacific War Museum. And Christmas time, thank everybody for showing up. Flashlights, I'll leave them here. That's it.
Thank you, Gary. Is there anybody else wishing to speak? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment. So the next order of business is ordinance number 15-1069, adopting the 2016 budget. Ms. Miller.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Tonight you have before you ordinance 15-1069 to adopt the 2016. This also includes Exhibit A, the 2016 salary and benefits schedule. But I do want to hand out tonight some work papers that clarify that the additions that council requested at their work study are included in the budget. So I'm going to if you will go to the last page of the handout that I just gave you. It shows the fire department, and you'll see in their 2016 budget that we have put the annexation study in there for $25,000. The total for the fire department budget of $525,375 equals line 40 over on page 12, which is the fire department budget. And those are all reflected in the ordinance. I apologize that the pages in the work packet that went out were not correct. And these are the updated one. We've also posted these to the city's website under the preliminary finance department preliminary budget. And with that, I'm here to answer any questions.
Does anybody have any questions?
I would move to approve ordinance 15. I'm on the right one, isn't it? Yeah. 15-1069, adopting the 2016 budget.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye. Erica had a question.
Oh.
I don't know if she did.
Well, one of my questions got answered, and thank you for answering that question. And since I have the floor now, I'll say my little piece now. I'm certain that this budget is going to pass. I am going to vote against it because I know that it's going to pass. The reason that I'm voting against it is because there's certain things that maybe because I'm dense, I don't follow and I don't understand. And I'm a little bit disturbed by the fact that I don't understand them. I think they're there. I think it's just my perception of things, but I just want to make that statement. Thank you.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
No.
Did you say no?
I do.
So, Carol Morris, is there response? If it passes and we don't have to worry about the penalty of them not having a good reason for not passing the budget?
Well, we passed.
Yeah, right. It passed.
We passed.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So then we don't have to worry about that penalty. Okay.
Mayor, may I make a suggestion? Since there seems to be some confusion on the budget issues, that maybe these council members need to sit down with our finance director.
Which they have so far not done.
Which they have not done through all of this process, and get educated, because this is very important, and I don't think we need to go through this again next year. Thank you.
I'll say that I have talked to Ms. Miller, not directly in her office per se, but I did have issues with some of this budget stuff that I brought to her attention.
I understand that, but you know, budgets
are, that's why we have a new.
They're really complicated, and no disrespect intended. But you've been on the council for 2 or 3 weeks now. We've been doing this for months when we have sat down in many, many work studies.
We started in August.
I've been on the council for 3 years. This is my third budget. There's still, I will admit, there are times I don't quite get it, even after 3 years. A sit down with May face to face, going line item by line item, is really beneficial. So, because then if you've got questions, she can answer them right there. She'll have the answers for you.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is ordinance number 15-1070, adopting concurrency regulations. Mr. Botcher.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. Let me just arrange this here a bit. Well, a little background on we have presented the concurrency ordinance to the Planning Commission. I'm not sure if any of you received any comments from the Planning Commission. We then held the two public hearings. In the drafting of this ordinance, our attorney had the ordinance reviewed by a professional traffic engineer, and then we went through several versions, and then we had it reviewed by a separate and different senior traffic planner from Parametrics, and we had some further edits through that process. In the last round of comments, we did not, other than some Scrivener, some minor edits, we didn't have any substantive edits in that that we're recommending to you. Sort of in the process and how we look at you as a legislative body, when we receive a comment from the public or from a group, I take those comments. If we as staff feel that an edit is needed based on that comment, we would make those changes. If we don't, then we may not make it. As in this last case, we made no substantive edits. Then I look to you as a council. If you as a council wants to make edits and three of you agree on an edit, you know, that we would consider that. But if we were to do it the other way around and one comment that came in and changed things based on one comment, that would be giving one person who's not on the bench, not voted in, the power of six votes. I think, anyway, that's the way I look at it, is that at this point, if there's edits that you want to recommend above what our council or I are recommending to you for as professionals, then you would decide on those edits and make recommendations to me. I'm prepared to go through, because you requested it, I'm prepared to go through and address these comments if you'd like. So it's up to you. I think we've been through this. So what's your pleasure?
I guess, have you talked to Mr. Rimbos about these comments? Has he been given the comments that you have?
No, I haven't reached out to Mr. Rimbos because I haven't been directed to, although Mr. Rimbos is welcome to set up a meeting, but hasn't set up a meeting with me.
Well, my personal feeling is we've had multiple public hearings. We have incorporated his comments as was seen fit by you and our legal counsel. I don't know that we need to take the time of the city council tonight to go through item by item and do a public response, which then is going to cause another response. I think it's time to move on.
Councilmember Morgan?
I haven't had a chance. Like I said, I got these at 3 o'clock. I haven't had a chance to go over them very well. I probably would appreciate going over them. This is the reason why I asked that we delay this. And I have a different perspective, a little bit of a different perspective, because I was in this town 35 years ago or whatever it was, when we had a grant from the federal government to build a sewage treatment plant in this town, and that was the failed sewage lagoons. And at that time, even though that grant came from the United States federal government and they said they would fix whatever problems there were, we had citizens in this town, probably most of the citizens, probably even more than the 70% of the political divide that we have now, who insisted that even though it was the United States federal government, that there be specific financial assurities that they would pay 100% of all the testing and the engineering and for the final development and also for the complete fix of that project when it failed. And our citizens were very, very glad to have those assurances in place. And I sort of see this in a lot the same light. With a body that has less ability to print money and make things happen, than the U.S. federal government did. So I'm distressed that those financial assurities aren't in there, and it's true, I haven't had a chance to hire my own financial officer to explain to me how this is really going to work on the end.
Excuse me, counsel.
Well, could I just explain? I just received this comment from Cindy Wheeler, and it seemed that Mr. Rimbos also made the same comment that they would like to have this language taken out of the concurrency ordinance, which says that the financial commitment needs to be secured by an enforceable development agreement. What we're talking about here is the definition of what's concurrent with development that's in state law. The language that was in parentheses, this secured by an enforceable development agreement, can certainly be taken out because this doesn't refer or require a development agreement or financial assurance or bond with this particular section of the ordinance. This ordinance doesn't require that. It's actually when you come in with an application and the applicant is saying, I want to do this, and then the city says, in order for you to be concurrent with development, you have to provide certain financial assurances, and then they would have to provide it. It can be in the form of a bond. It can be in the form of a cash set-aside. It can be in the form of a development agreement that is secured with a bond. But the development agreement is something that's recorded against the property so that we can enforce it. It's not in and of itself the financial commitment. So I just want to make sure that that language there refers to the fact that you need a development agreement, so it's recorded against the property, but it's not the financial assurance, and there's no problem with taking that out. If that's what everybody's upset about, we can just take that out. It's not a problem. It really isn't. You still have to do it. So we can do this, and it's in section 11114A. It's about three lines up. In that first paragraph, in parentheses, just strike out the words secured by an enforceable development agreement, and that's on page 12. And then on page 13, section 11114, about five lines down, there's another parenthesis. Again, we're talking about definition of concurrency. Just strike out the words that are there in parentheses. If that's what people are hung up on, take it out.
Question. I guess my question is a little more nebulous or broad, shall we say. But I guess I am looking for input from our city attorney in more of a broad sense about what is your recommendation and your interpretation of is the concurrency ordinance, does it stand on its own well enough? Are these other comments, I don't suppose you've looked at every comment.
Oh, I have looked at them, yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Give me your opinion.
Well, the concurrency ordinance is something that you should have adopted in 1997. It's been a requirement since about 1996. And in the cities that I represented about that time, I drafted a concurrency ordinance. And this is an ordinance that is like a third generation from the original ones I've drafted. And this ordinance has been adopted in at least five cities in its current formation. Seth and I have gone through and made just a few minor corrections to it to address Black Diamond. But other than that, it's pretty much in the same form as you would see it in Port Orchard. It was just adopted in Port Orchard. So this in and of itself is not something that you need to make totally unique for Black Diamond. Everybody has to do the same thing. And traffic engineers look at it. They have a traffic model that they use to determine how this fits into that. I'm not a traffic engineer, so I can't tell you the ins and outs. But basically what this does is just set up the procedure so that when an application comes in, you can review it and determine whether or not there is concurrency and the application can proceed forward. So it's just a procedural ordinance. It's not as substantive as people may think. And it does not address how you would review applications that have already been approved. You know, like the Yarrow Bay applications, we don't need language in this to address those applications because if they are subject to this, and I'm not making any representation about that because I don't want to get everybody saying, well, in such and such section you have to look at it. All this does is just address the procedure for when an application comes through, how it's handled. If there's concurrency, it's approved. If there's not concurrency, it's denied. Sets up an appeal procedure and how you handle the appeal. And in some cities, they have it for water and sewer and traffic, and it's all in one ordinance. And that works really well because you don't want to always have to impose a moratorium when you are run out of things like water and sewer. So I didn't know there was going to be so much controversy about this ordinance. And like I said, just the reference to a development agreement is so innocuous because you would have a development agreement to secure some kind of financial commitment. But a development agreement in and of itself is not the financial commitment. And if it were, we wouldn't be here with Yarrow Bay's irrevocable letter of credit in front of you guys tonight. They have a development agreement. If that were the financial commitment, they wouldn't need this, right? So I just want to make sure everyone understands this is not a deal breaker. And then with regard to the other comments that were made, I did a memo for Seth, and I don't know if he distributed it to you all, but the other issues I think are also...
you didn't have any edits.
No, I didn't have any edits based upon the comments that people made. And certainly you can adopt it tonight, and then if it turns out that people have problems with it, even after implementation, you can make changes to this ordinance.
Well, that was going to be my follow-on question. Just, I think we here on council know, but I mean, just for the record, the amendment process is like for any ordinance, right?
Right.
It's, what is that, a two-thirds for changing an ordinance?
Oh, no, it's the same thing. It's just passing
just a majority?
Majority.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, it's just like our SEPA that we redid this year.
Right.
You just redo the SEPA ordinance, yeah. And you okay. Come up with a new SEPA ordinance.
And sometimes you have to amend it because you find out, well, this didn't work right, you know. But like I said, this has been adopted in so many cities. We haven't had any really big problems with it that I can think of. The only problems that we've had with this concurrency ordinance have been with regard to water and sewer, when cities totally ran out of water and sewer and cities wanted to provide them with another alternative method to drill wells and things like that, but not for transportation concurrency.
Thank you.
I've written down a six-point of that would kind of just a brief summary what this concurrency ordinance does. One, account cars. Two, assess the level of service of city transportation system. Three, we assess the traffic load and the impact of development applications. From that, we either issue a capacity reservation certificate, or if there is, if the project drops it below the level of service, then a capacity. Any reservation certificate would not be issued. Or a third alternative is, along with that capacity reservation certificate, comes a mitigation project, and that gets passed back to the permitting side. It's not all addressed in here. This is just a car counting and level of service assessment ordinance. All the connections of financial commitments happen over in the permitting side of things, not here in this ordinance. Five, then I track the traffic loading that is reserved coming from the developments that are in process. And six, prepare an overall city level of service capacity report annually. Pretty simple.
Councilmember Morgan.
Seth, I think I asked you this before. The level of service, we can change and set our level of service. That doesn't have anything to do with this ordinance, does it?
No. that occurs in the comprehensive planning process.
Okay. I make a motion to adopt Ordinance 15-1070, establishing a transportation concurrency ordinance, which established codes and policies to ensure that transportation facilities are planned, funded, and constructed concurrent with the development according to state law.
With the changes that I mentioned?
With the changes that our city attorney mentioned, 1111014A, the parenthetical secured by an enforceable development agreement, and 1111015, the parenthetical embodied in a development agreement.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All those opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
And I would just say to the technical committee, if there's things that you want to change, don't let up. As you heard, there is an amendment process. Okay.
So the next item on the agenda is resolution number 15-1057, authorizing flood reduction grant agreement with King County. Mr. Botcher.
And now for something completely different. We have received this grant from the King County Flood Control District. We applied for full funding for the replacement of the 3 5-foot corrugated metal culverts under 224th Avenue Southeast, which is the start of Covington Creek. Those culverts are deteriorating and are due for replacement. They were reviewed them personally with the flood control district representatives, and they agreed, inspecting, looking at the conditions of the pipe, that they needed to be replaced soon. When culverts begin to fail and the road holes, they can tend to wash the roadbed out, because you get as much water running through the roadbed as through the pipe. And we nearly lost Roberts Drive in 2008 under that, because of the condition of the culvert. They did not have enough funding for full funding, so this is a grant to provide funding for engineering and design. So I would recommend your support to accept this grant. This project is on our capital improvement program.
Councilmember Morgan.
I have a couple of things that I noticed. First of all, is it in the plan that Fish Passage will be taken care of?
That will be covered through the permitting process, because we will need to get HPA from Fish and Wildlife.
I mean, it's my understanding that these days that there is, and I was wondering if that should be, if Fish Passage should be in the whereas statements. Because I think we don't have such good Fish Passage now. I think I've had you explain that to me in the past.
Well, there isn't a drop. There might be somewhat of an issue in that the three pipes can tend to divide the flow rather than
consolidate,
so that it can be divided and not have enough water to swim in under low flow conditions. But typically this is a late run of salmon, and they don't come up until the water does start to flow.
Right.
But they haven't had trouble getting through there. Replacement with a bridge with a box culvert that is going, I mean, what's proposed is fish passable.
Is fish passable. Okay, that's my understanding, too. And then I had a couple of scriveners, actually. In the summary statements, in the first paragraph, this last
of the agreement?
In the summary statement of the resolution.
Okay.
It says public works staff will apply the next grant cycle for construction funds. I think there's something missing there. Public works staff will apply the next grant cycle for construction funds.
I think what that means, though, is that the public works staff is going to take the action to apply during the next grants cycle.
On the agenda bill.
And it's just the agenda bill. It's
okay.
It's not contained in the body of the legislation.
That's true.
I think it's just add the word for will apply for the next grant cycle.
Yeah. I wanted to let you have the chance to tell me how to fix that so it made sense. And then I'm noticing, and this is just sort of a note, I'm noticing that this project, it says that there's no match requirement for this project from the city?
No. And if you look at the budget for staff effort on the project, the grants reimburse the city.
As in labor...
On page 6.
As in labor.
Right.
Is replacing that, is doing that part. Thank you very much. That's what I have.
I make a motion to adopt resolution 15-1057, authorizing the mayor to execute a flood reduction grant agreement with King County for the design of the Covington Creek Culvert project.
Second.
And I might add that the Public Works Committee has reviewed this and vetted it, and it's really a can't lose.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is resolution number 15-1058, authorizing a fuel tax agreement with the Transportation Improvement Board. Mr. Botcher.
This is a grant agreement, fuel tax agreement. Kind of throws some people off. It seems like we're going to be adopting a new fuel tax in Black Diamond. That's just where the money comes from. This is a Transportation Improvement Board grant for the overlay of Jones Lake Road. This is the project limits would be where we left off at the Railroad Avenue project after State Route 169. There'll be just slight shoulder widening, maybe no more than 1 to 2 feet. And an overlay, and perhaps some patching and pre-leveling. The design work for this type of project we cover primarily in-house. So if there's no questions.
I'll make a motion to adopt resolution 15-1058, authorizing the mayor to execute a fuel tax grant agreement for the Jones Lake Road Overlay Project, TIB number 2-P-800-004-1.
Second.
Any further discussion? Councilmember Morgan.
I did have one question here. Under number 8, governance and venue, it says... if any action is brought here under, it shall be in the Superior Court for Thurston County. How come Thurston County?
Because Transportation Improvement Board wants to make it convenient for themselves because they're down there in Olympia.
Okay. Okay. And then, I know I said only one, but the terms of agreement under 5 above there, it says shall not exceed 10 years unless amended by the parties. Does this mean that Black Diamond could take 10 years to complete this project if it wanted to?
We don't want to.
I understand. I understand that.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, if we follow the law and follow the grant agreement, there's no need to go to court. Just build a road.
Okay.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next agenda item is resolution number 15-1058, adopting interlocal agreement with Covington and Maple Valley for building services. Ms. Kincaid.
Thank you, Mayor, Council Members.
This is a resolution that would authorize the mayor to sign an interlocal agreement with Black Diamond, Covington, and Maple Valley. This is an agreement that we entered into in late 2012, I believe, so this has kind of been ongoing for many years. It works really well for the city at this time because we don't quite have enough revenue to hire our full-time building official, plans examiner, and inspectors. So under this arrangement, the building official and plans examiner work for the city of Covington, and we have two building inspectors that work for Maple Valley. So this is really just a renewal of an agreement that will expire at the end of this year, and it would be for 2016. Do you have any questions for me?
Councilmember Morgan.
Back to my Scrivener's hat. The first sentence under the summary statement, agreement with ILA for several years because there had not been enough building permit for the city to fund its own building official and inspectors. I think there's something missing there. I don't know. I said add in activity or take out permit. That's what my note says. Building, there had not been enough building for the city to fund its own building official.
Building permits probably is what it should
or,
say.
Yeah.
Just add an S.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then there's another further down there in the third line up. There's another plural singular disparity. Like it says, support hiring a building permit official and inspectors. And it needs to be it needs to be building officials and inspectors or and take the A out or make it singular.
Well, there's one building official and two inspectors.
Okay. Then maybe there needs to be a comma in there or something. Okay. Okay.
Did you have a... Are you done?
Yeah, well, I just have another couple things, I guess. Are there any changes, really, since the last agreement?
The changes, the substantive changes in this year's agreement are because we changed insurance.
Okay.
So AWC had to revise this, and then we actually, with the help of Carol here, we made this agreement this year just a little stronger and clearer than it was in 2015.
Okay.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yeah. I just want to understand, as we are moving forward with, it appears, some building activity now starting in town, is there, if we have to change horses in the middle of the stream, is there an escape clause to this ILA?
Yes, there's a termination clause.
Thank you.
Yes. Thanks for the question.
Oh, and then I'm sure you've taken care of this, but I just want to get it in the record. Are the fees the same that you had on the last page here, under Exhibit A? There's a fees list. Are the fees the same
as 2015?
As the last one?
No, the fees are a little higher in 2016 than they were in 2015.
Do we need to make any adjustments in our new fee schedule, and have those been done?
Not in the fee schedule, and the budget reflects the increase. We worked that into the budget.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilmember Edelman.
I just want to comment about the fee schedule, since I know it intimately. When we contract out, and it's in the fee schedule, that it is a fee for service. Mm-hmm. So we pay whatever has to be paid, and that's the way it's written into our schedule. It's not, you know, X amount of dollars per hour or anything like that. So it should be covered without having to redo the fee schedule.
Right.
I make a motion to adopt resolution number 15-1059, authorizing the mayor to execute an interlocal agreement with the cities of Covington and Maple Valley for building department-related services.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is Resolution Number 15-1060, adopting a facility use policy. Ms. Morris.
As you know, this city has taken over managing the gym, and since that occurred, I've been after Brenda to work on some policies for the use of the gym. I came up with this by mashing together a bunch of forms I found from various cities and other public agencies, but it sounds like there's some additional issues that we can work out, and there's no rush to get this adopted, so I don't have any problem if you want to wait. Yeah. And continue to work.
Councilmember Deedy.
Yeah, I would suggest that maybe the mayor and finance maybe get together with Brock and just sit down and go through this document with him and just figure out, you know, where he's coming from dealing with the people every day and what he sees up at the gym.
Yeah,
and then
it would
just
probably
bring
be
it back.
With Brenda, and then we'd run it by Carol Morris.
Yeah. And then just bring it back sometime in January.
Yeah, because there are other forms that go with this as well, and maybe we could do those all at the same time.
Yeah.
We are going to require that people sign.
Councilmember Morgan.
Yeah, I have been the rental agent in a number of different places, and then I made a few notes in here, too, just things that I've noticed that happen with time when you're renting out to the public that might be good to box in a little bit closer.
And this also was going to be for the use of your city hall. In the last political season, I had a couple of requests in other cities for use of the city hall, city council chambers for debates. And there are rules for when you can allow that to take place. And these city halls weren't available because they didn't have rules that allowed the use of the city council chambers on a fair and equal basis.
Right.
So that's the other reason why I thought this was something that you needed to have as soon as possible and extend it to all public facilities. If you have anything else that you're going to allow.
Well, is there consensus if you want to postpone it, you can just tell me.
Let's postpone it to the first meeting in January.
Okay.
It does have to be a motion.
To postpone it, yeah.
Yeah. I make a motion to postpone Agenda Bill 1060 to the first meeting in January, or the second meeting to allow for all the coordination to happen.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So because there was a comment about Councilmember Edelman and the next two items. Carol Morris, can I get you to address?
Yeah, I'm not sure I understand what the challenge is, other than it sounds like someone thinks that because Councilmember Edelman's husband was a member of a group that had to pay attorney's fees to Yarrow Bay, that now she has a conflict of interest in voting on these next motions, and I don't see there's a conflict of interest. I don't.
Thank you.
Okay, so the next item on the agenda, Resolution Number 15-1061, consent to assignment of certain water supply agreements. Mr. Williamson.
Good evening, Mayor. Good evening, Council. So bear with us, because this could take us the time to make sure you clearly all understand what we're doing here tonight, okay? A lot of different agreements in the city automatically change over as ownership of property change over, so it's not the assumptions. But there are some water agreements, and at this, and then we'll discuss funding one becomes complex there. Those do require that the city council authorize the assumption to the new ownership after they provide a financial assurances, or they automatically renew within 60 days. So through that process, and when we are notified, I have burned a lot of phone time with Ms. Morrison, who's been very helpful with me through this process, and the mayor and staff as we went through this. Through that, you'll see in your packet where I requested from Mr. Botcher what would be the outstanding debt on any projects under the WSFA agreements currently that we would have. And you'll see that in front of you tonight, that he had already, before I'd asked the question, he had worked out the math on that problem as his long-term ongoing responsibility as being in charge of the WSFA agreements between the master developers, Palmer, Coke & Cole, and the city. Seth oversees that process. So with that, you'll see he provided that documentation. And currently, the BD Lawson Partnership and the BD Village Partnership are 74.4% responsibility of the debt. You'll see Seth's math there where he provided me a memo that the letter of credit that he felt more than would adequately assure would be $2,888,300 in available funds. So we move that forward to working with CC Crown Community Development and the Yarrow Bay folks, the BD Village Partnership and the Lawson Partnership, to come forward with a letter of credit, which Carol Morris will approve that form when that's finalized. And so in our due diligence, it's, you know, and you'll see there's a memo also from Ms. Morris in there. Currently, we have no financial assurances. There are no financial assurances to the city on the WSFA. There is a $75,000 operating fund, which the two partners must keep $75,000. Seth does different things. We draw the fund down. Ms. Miller then requests funds to move the fund back up to $75,000. And that's what it is. As we do project, Mr. Botcher does what he calls, he does a call letter. So discussing with the partners, he determines what this next project is that the WSFA partnership does, and he issues a call letter. And that call letter has a value in it, and he issues that to the two partners. The two partners then pay their proportionate shares of that fund to the city, and the city then builds it. What this mechanism does is it gives the city additional reassurances as we welcome or figure out who this new ownership group is, that we'll have then a standby letter of credit for over $2 million. And I'm here to answer, and so is Ms. Morris, to answer any questions that you might have.
Does anybody have any questions? Eric Morgan.
Hi, once again. When did you first become aware of this change?
We were notified around, I think, November 11th of the possibility that this could happen.
Okay. And when did you notify the mayor, and did you notify any council members then?
This seems to be the same questions that Mr. Weber has. Am I answering both your questions at the same time?
Maybe.
Please. Okay. So just clarification of that. On November 11th, I was notified and notified the mayor. Staff started working. We then reached out to Ms. Morris. I don't know what the exact date was. I reached Ms. Morris trying to understand what the agreement was. As we worked through that and figuring out how we were going to come up with adequate financial assurances through the assumption process, as we worked through that, two council members did come, as they had been approached by the developers and who were in their communications. They did come and ask me questions about it, and at that point I answered those questions to those two particular council people. But at that point, this wasn't a finalized, we hadn't determined what our action was going to be on the staff and the mayor. Mayor hadn't given us directions. We hadn't determined with Ms. Morris what our final actions were. Does that answer your question?
That answers those questions. Have you ever met with any of these Crown Development people?
I have met with them, yes.
You have met with them? Okay. What did you discuss?
That's a staff meeting that we had with the mayor.
The development?
And then we discussed the development.
Okay.
Are there any further questions?
I have a couple for Ms. Morris. So I understand that there's some things that the city or the council needs to approve or disapprove. Why is it that this, what specifically is it the reason that we have to approve this resolution or this agreement?
Well, you're right in that some of the contracts that are now going to be assumed by Crown Development don't require a formal consent, and others do. And in the memo that I sent to you guys, I showed you the sections of the agreement.
Yeah, I didn't have time to review that before the meeting. We got that about little before 6 o'clock. So.
Oh. Well.
Yeah, so we haven't really had a chance to look at it.
Okay. Well, anyway, in the memo, I actually copied the sections of the agreement that discuss the procedure. And so in those sections of these other agreements, it describes what you do when there is a new party and the new party is asking that you consent to the assignment. And what's happened here is as a review of their financial ability, Seth has come up with a number that he thinks would actually provide you with the assurance that the new corporation can take over for the old developer. And that's the number that's plugged into this irrevocable letter of credit. And you did give that to them.
The irrevocable letter of credit?
Right.
No, you haven't.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Well, anyway, they provided to us a form irrevocable letter of credit that would basically set a certain amount of money, over $2 million, available for the city in case we felt that they weren't living up to their obligations. We could draw upon this, and we could use that money to satisfy the terms of the contract. So that's how they're proposing to address this consent. So that's really the only thing that's in front of you, is whether or not you're going to consent to the transfer of the old developer, for the new developer, for the old developer. And the criteria that you use for that is whether or not they have the financial ability to assume those obligations. They're saying, we're providing this to you in the form of the letter of credit. And I've looked at the draft today. I haven't seen the final version, but you can vote today that it would be acceptable based upon my approval of the final irrevocable letter of credit as to form.
So it's essentially a performance bond.
Well, it's actually better than a performance bond, because a performance bond, once someone posts it, if they don't perform and the city decides they're going to enforce it, you go to the surety and you tell the surety, okay, now you have to perform. And then the surety could argue about it with you, and then you could end up in a fight about that. And then, you know, but that is not going to happen here. This is an irrevocable letter of credit, which means that if the city feels that there is a breach, it goes to the bank and says, okay, I want the money. And the bank can't question that. The bank has to turn that money over to you.
Which is more than we've got now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's more.
We don't have any now.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, Brent. I didn't mean
no,
to butt in.
See how you are.
I know.
So when did you receive the letter from the CCD, I guess?
I have the letter here. I don't know that I have my email where I received it, but I think it was, Andy was correct, it was like November 11th.
This has been ongoing for two different
ones. So this is the letter of credit that we've had for a while?
Oh, No. I'm talking about the original notice to us that they're saying that they're going to have a new corporation that will take over for the old developer. That's
sorry,
when they first notified us. And then we started looking at the contracts, and we're starting to think, okay, now how are we going to do this? Each one of these contracts has a different clause. Which ones can the council actually consent to? Which ones do they not have the authority to consent to, because it basically says that they have to agree to it regardless?
Right.
So we were trying to figure out where the flexibility was, and then once we figured out where the flexibility was, we're trying to figure out the method. And after the discussion, the method that was settled upon was this irrevocable letter of credit, which, you know, as I said, I think is much better than a performance bond.
Yeah. I guess what I was asking specifically is, because when you look at the agenda bill, it notes in the third paragraph that the city expected to have that
on December
take place by December, on or before. Yeah.
Yes.
Before December.
So a letter of credit and the verbiage is very particular.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as we worked with Ms. Morris and their attorneys, it was I had anticipated by December 15th. We have just gotten the final form to Ms. Morris. It's very particular. there's bank regulations that the bank is then can only put certain verbiage in. So as we work through that process, we are now with the letter of credit to Ms. Morris now.
Right, and I can appreciate that. I just, you know, as a counsel, yeah, granted I'm new, but it's hard to make a justifiable decision if you don't have all, if you're getting pieces, parts, hours and days right up to the meeting. I'm not doubting that you guys didn't, you know, do your due diligence and stuff. But it, as a, not only as a planning commissioner, but a, now a council member, it's hard for us to represent the citizens to do what they voted us to do when we get things, you know, kind of piecemeal or, you know, because we think of questions when we start going over the packet. But then, like, 3 or 4 days later, something pops up. And then it's like, oh, well, now we can, like, start over some of it, so.
Right, and I do appreciate you reaching out to me, and we had our email discussion back about answering
And
I just, I want to point out that this information that was left out inadvertently. It was not intentionally.
Right. I didn't want to imply that it was left out intentionally. I totally get that.
I make a motion to adopt resolution number 15-1061 regarding consent to assignment of certain water supply agreements.
Second.
Subject to the city attorney's approval of the final version of the irrevocable letter of credit as to form.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And I agree on the second. What you said. Yeah.
Any further discussion?
I just can't help that I want to add. You know, I haven't had very much time to look at this very deeply, but I can tell you that I Googled in my about 4 or 5 minutes that I looked at this. I Googled Crown Community Development and lawsuits, and the first thing that came up at the top of the page was from, I think, South Carolina, and it was a Better Business Alert, flash, flash, flash. And that they'd had all kinds of problems. Somewhere, I guess it's in my packet on the next thing I have, I copied off some of that stuff. But I'm just saying, I think that I really would like more time to look this over myself so that I can represent the citizens, the good citizens of Black Diamond, and know that I know in my heart and soul that what I'm doing is what I think I'm doing. It's not that I don't trust this. It's not that I don't trust the staff. It's just that I need to, in order to cast that vote, I need to be assured.
Can I answer that question, Ms. Morin? So, in our charge as staff, we're very bound to that. We're not allowed to be arbitrary and capricious. We must be looking at the facts, and the facts say that we need to make sure that they provide the financial assurances, whatever's out on the web or whatever their Better Business things or whatever those things are. Our charge was to make sure they could provide the financial assurances to the city and the assumptions. So once we got the 2.8 letter of credit and we worked in the verbiage that Ms. Morris would have the final approval, that's kind of staff's, you know, responsibility is to find, make sure we look for that financial thing, not to do the other things that you are charged with. Is that clear?
Exactly.
Okay.
Not to do those other things that I'm charged with.
Right.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No. Nay.
The motion carries. The next item on the agenda is resolution number 15-1062, confirmation of assignment of MPT funding agreement. Mr. Williamson.
I think the council, this one you did have the full package of information. I provided you the current letter of credit there just for information, the statement from Old Point, BD Lawson, BD Villages, that letter of credit will be in standing, and that it's just moving over to now Crown Community Development. It's the same letter of credit. It's the same, if you'll, it's the drawn on the same bank that we have the other incoming letter of credit, the Seattle Bank, and it's been an ongoing credit that the finance director has had over years, over years, over years as we went through this, been a long-standing They change the amount every year. It's based upon what our new budget is going in, so the credit goes up and down and up and down, so we have the reassurances of it. So I would answer any questions you might have on that. But it's been an ongoing process that we have with the same bank, with the same letter of credit.
I make a motion to adopt resolution number 15-1062 regarding confirmation of assignment of MPD funding agreement.
Second.
Any further discussion?
I have one question, at least. So in our packet, there's the letter from Seattle Bank that talked about the irrevocable. Thank you. So it refers to an attachment of Annex B, and on the next page there's a reference to Annex A being attached. And we have Annex A in the packet, but there's no Annex B.
Annex B is the ongoing, always changing funding budget.
Okay.
So, and you just adopted the funding budget now,
mm-hmm.
So that will become that document.
So basically the amount that the letter, the standby letter says $1,033,618.
Right.
So over the course of the year, that could go up or down.
Right. Over the course of every year, let's say the thing booms, right, and we need to hire a whole bunch of people, and maybe the budget is $3 million. That credit would be $3 million. Or let's say there wasn't a bunch of work going on, it could get down as low as, you know, $1 million. I need to be correct. It can't go higher than $2 million. It's maxed out $2 million by the agreement. So it fluctuates by how much work we think is coming in and by the budget, right? So as that number, Ms. Miller, I set the budget, but as far as the finance, we let Ms. Miller and Ms. Martinez handle the letter credits and how that works. But that's an ongoing May. Looks at the budget and our level of risk and what that credit number is, and then they present that letter of credit to Ms. Miller.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Council. Happy holidays to you both.
Do we have any department reports? So the next report is the mayor's report. I spent Saturday morning shopping with a cop with Megan Ross at the Walmart in Covington. It was a really fun time, and I'd encourage any of you that want to go next year. Even as a citizen, the store is open, and there were 100 of cops from jurisdictions from Seattle and Renton and Covington and Maple Valley and all over the community, and there were just King County Sheriff. So there was just all kinds of police from every municipality, and some of them go to Covington and some of them go to different stores. There's different stores that sponsor this, and we got three sets of kids, and the last one we had four teenage girls, so it was quite challenging. But we came in, we get a budget of $50 per child, and we came in at $190.56 for the four girls that we had, so we were under budget. And the Rotary sponsors this, and so they have special cash registers, and you don't get charged tax. And it was just a really fun event to see all of these kids. And you don't have to be poor. You just have to have some challenges. So you have the Black Diamond Community Center and maybe Vine Maple Place, and people that have kids, their families are going through divorce or custody or whatever. So it's things to make them feel happy. They get to go and shop with a cop. And they're really, really into getting the pictures taken with the cop and talking to them. And Megan was really good. She just loved talking to the kids, so she got them to open up and talk. And it was a really fun event. And then after that, in the afternoon or around noon, Gary and I went down to the hometown Christmas in Black Diamond and talked to a few people there.
And then last night we went to the Sound Cities Association Board Caucus, which is the elections for the people in our area that are on the board, and to talk about our issues for our area for 2016. And then Skateboard was on Tuesday, and WashDOT is working on their six-year plan to reorganize their state projects for roadways. And I actually talked to Charles and have talked to him before, and he's been out here for Tri-City meetings and SEATS meetings, and he's really interested in working on Highway 169 and 560 and prioritizing those projects. Now, he has nothing to do with the money. He only has to do with working, the planning. He's on the planning. But then we had Craig Stone, who is working projects, and he's the financial side of it. And he didn't get into that because right now his priority is Highway 167 and the 509 project, and it's going to take them 16 years to get to construction, which is almost unacceptable, 16 years. So anyway, it was a really interesting meeting. Hopefully we can get our projects moved up on the line. And then we've had Finance Committee, Public Safety Meeting, and Planning and Community Development. Councilmember Deedy.
So just first off, I was out of the country, so I just got back to the States on Friday, so I apologize for missing the Christmas tree lighting, but I heard that it was awesome and more attended this year than last year, so that's awesome. I attended and served at the community luncheon today along with Mayor Benson. It was a Christmas luncheon for the seniors. Also attended the South County Area Caucus meeting with Mayor Benson and Councilmember Edelman. Attended the skateboard meeting as well. It's been a busy week since I've been back. I also attended the hometown Christmas, which was very well attended, even though it was pouring down rain. So that was at the school, the museum, the bakery, and the antique store. It was fabulous. Let's see what else. The Christmas skateboard. I think that's good.
Councilmember Morgan.
Hi. I guess I'll just talk a little bit. I went with Pat Pepper, and I went to an economic conference all day up at Microsoft for the four counties to talk about economic development and how economic development, what part we were playing in economic development. I was kind of amused because what was holding us, what the consensus is that's holding us back from economic development in the greater Seattle, Tacoma area is, first, our atrocious traffic situation. And the second thing that's holding us back is education, which is probably surprising to some people, but they base that on the fact that many of our specialized four major employers in this area are requiring that their workers are imported from overseas because those are the people who have the education that can do the jobs, and they're talking like about Boeing and Microsoft and Amazon and a couple others. We did talk about that one of the things that makes those kinds of companies come to the Pacific Northwest is the quality of life that we have here. And the quality of life is, it's not showcased by our traffic problems, and it's not showcased by the education that we have. It's showcased by the natural environment. And what we really were discussing a lot about in all the things that people can do and that municipal governments can do to help foster economic development. The communities on the east side, in the foothills, their real place has to do with tourism and outward outward activities that people from the cities can come out on the weekends and take part in. And that is really important for those people who are stuck in some high-rise apartment, where they can walk to work down there, wherever it is, walk to work and go home at lunchtime and exercise their animals, you know, their dogs in their little apartments. But that they still need that in order for quality of life, that they still need to be able to get out to the mountains and to the rivers and to the streams and to festivals and biking trips and stuff like that, and that for the region as a whole to expand the road system so that the kind of super heavy structure that is in that, shall we say, Marysville or maybe even Mount Vernon to Olympia corridor, there isn't money, for one thing, at this point, to make that come up into the foothills. And it's a different kind of experience. It's a kind of experience where people want to get away from the hustle and the bustle so that they can go back at the end of the weekend and be engaged in that hustle and bustle. So that was a lot of fun conversation.
Are you done?
Mm-hmm.
Councilmember Edelman?
Yeah, I've had a busy couple weeks, too. I've been to the PIC meeting this last week. I also met with the staff on issues. We've had Planning and Community Services meeting. We've actually now had two on comp plan amendments or updates. One of them was this afternoon. I also attended the Hometown Christmas on Saturday, and I think a big shout-out needs to go to Myra Hoke and to Melissa Oglesby. You two are just powerhouses, and that's what's making that. The kids were having a blast. Even, you know, the weather outside was frightful. it was, you know, but the kids were inside making wreaths and having a grand time. So I think it's a real worthwhile thing. Yesterday I attended the Chamber of Commerce luncheon. I attended the city's Christmas party. And then last night with the mayor and with Councilmember Deedy, the SCA South County Caucus. Then today we have the other Planning and Community Services. And I want to give a shout-out to Barb Kincaid, because we've seen more information coming out on the comp plan update in the last month and a half or so than we've seen in the last 2 years. So thank you. And also, I want to wish you well, Ron. We've liked having you on the council. We're going to miss you. So I hope you do stay tuned.
Thank you.
Councilmember Brandon. Councilmember Taylor.
I've got a couple of things. First of all, I just want to remind the council that the fire ad hoc committee, when we passed that resolution, the wording in the resolution, because we did this on purpose, named Councilmember Deedy and I by name as those members. So it's not by default the public safety committee. So you will need to address that come first of the year. And then secondly, if you would all just give me a couple of minutes, there's a couple of things I'd like to say. As this is my last council meeting, I would like to take a couple of minutes to give some parting thoughts. This has been an unforgettable experience that has helped to forge and shape my life for the better. This is a bittersweet point. There are things that I will miss, but in other ways, this will be a huge relief. When this country was founded, it was expected that lay people would step up to take turns in leadership roles. But politics were never intended to be a career endeavor. I've had my turn wearing the bullseye, and now I'm happy to pass that on to someone else. I would like to extend some acknowledgments that should be noted. First and most importantly, I want to publicly thank my wife of 35 years for being my rock from beginning to end. She has been a constant encouragement and has supported me every step of the way. She convinced me to step into this in the beginning and has believed in me ever since. She has listened to all my rantings. She has stayed engaged with all of the city proceedings and usually constituted the entire public in attendance at the ad hoc committee meetings. And She has even been known to give an occasional opinion to counsel. Thank you, my dear. Thank you to the staff that does more than they should have to. You haven't had a pay raise in years. Elected officials come and go, but the staff is the powerhouse that keeps the city engines running. And the person who keeps everything running is Brenda. Thanks to each staff member for your patience and perseverance in advising us elected officials and keeping us informed and prepared. Remember that for every angry citizen, there are many more silent citizens that don't realize that you don't know that they appreciate your efforts. Thank you to our police chief, Jamie, and each and every police officer and police staff member who do their best and lay their lives on the line for our safety and well-being every day. Not a lot of people know the personal sacrifice and dedication that you all have poured into this city while continually being asked to cut the budget. I do. Thank you to Fire Chiefs Greg and Mike and your personnel for doing your best to protect our lives and property in spite of the pitifully small amount that our city pays for fire safety. The professionalism and commitment of you and those you lead is an inspiration and is second to none. To the police and fire leaders, you and your integrity have made it a pleasure to serve on the Public Safety Committee for these years. Thank you to my colleagues and for all you have taught me. Carol, Janie, Tammy, Erica, and Craig, and Joe. My life will always be better for having known and worked with you. You all have a passion and integrity in your leadership that would be refreshing on any level of government. I am thankful that I've learned our government and legislative process firsthand with you and better than in any classroom. High school government class pales next to what we have all learned here. I now have a tremendous respect and appreciation for our democracy and the blood, sweat, and tears that this process requires. To those taking over, thank you for having the courage to step up. This will be a scary and new experience. Charge into it with gusto because you can't afford to shrink back. God bless you. You are in for one of the greatest adventures of your life, and it will change you forever. You will be the one to decide if it changes you for the better or worse. Don't let other people tell you what to do. You are not supposed to be following other people anymore. You are the leaders. Lead. It is fine to be informed and hear all sides, but what you do and what you say and the decisions you make will forever go down into history with your name attached to it. This is what people will remember you by, so make sure you can sleep with that. Nothing can replace your own common sense. Your job is to assure the well-being of the city, her financial health, and all of her citizens. There will be no end of those who want to steer and control your decisions. Don't let staff or consultants or lawyers or the press or developers or special interest groups or angry citizens sway. Goodness sakes, I lost my place. Sway you from what you are convinced is right. Don't let Yarrow Bay tell you what you should do. But don't let Save Black Diamond and Brian Drudowski tell you what to do either. Whether people agree with you or not, you are the ones who have taken the challenge to wear the bullseye, and the buck stops with you. In the end, make sure that you will be completely satisfied that you did your very best to make the very best decisions that you could. Don't be afraid to disagree. When people rush to tell you what to do and how, ask yourself, who's in it for what? For example, what do people have to gain when they don't even live in or near Black Diamond? Why do they have such a keen interest in what happens here, and what do they stand to gain? Why don't they get involved in the politics in their own community, like Bellevue or Issaquah? To those of you who can only be mean and spiteful and petty like a junior high kid, put up or shut up. Stop being the problem and step up and be part of the solution. You're not happy unless you're mad, and no one wants to hear your attacks and juvenile sarcasm. You have lost all credibility. Step up and run for an office or take it somewhere else. To the new council, for God's sake, fix your fire service. Black Diamond has taken on a huge liability for horribly and systematically neglecting to fund adequate fire service for decades. You can't wait years to fix this. This is a situation that is getting worse every year. Don't allow this to get kicked down the road any further, because this time bomb will blow up in your face. As to development, the city is broke and desperately needs revenue. There are some who would just pave and build. There are some who still want to believe that the city can stay the same as it was in 1965. Run the evil developers out of town. Neither scenario is realistic or sustainable. Somewhere in between is reality, and it will be your job to find where that reality is to the best of your ability, and then steer the ship between the rocks to get it there. No matter what you do and what you decide, people will be angry with you. But this isn't a popularity contest. You've got hard decisions to make. When you walk away, make sure that you can be at peace and that you have made every decision according to your very best effort and conscience. Your vote is critical. Don't give it away to anyone, and don't let anyone hold it hostage. Black Diamond is one of the greatest places there is, but it didn't become that way overnight. For over 100 years, great people have lived and worked here to carve out the jewel that we all enjoy and call home. They struggled and contributed their own blood, sweat, and tears to make the best decisions they could for the betterment of their families and community. This is not a process that you are starting, but one that you are picking up and carrying forward. Don't take it lightly or for granted. It is a great responsibility that has been passed to you, so do your best to keep our city headed toward greatness. I wish you well.
Thank you.
Very nicely said.
and this break.
So do we have a attorney report?
Jeez, I got to follow that. Well, I don't have a report, but I just want to say, because we are starting with some new council members, that if you want me to provide some training, I'm available, especially land use training, if you want to have that again, and also I want to give you my card. I want let everybody know, you know, you can call me if you have questions. You don't have to wait for the council meeting.
Well, maybe on the 7th, before the meeting, you could come in early and we could have a discussion with both the new council members about, at least with the council rules, and then talk about if we want to do one of the planning sessions that we did before.
Yeah, you know, tell me what you want to talk about. Written material. I don't want to just come and then...
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Thank you. So the next item is public comments. Persons wishing to address the council regarding items of new business are encouraged to do so at this time. When recognized by the mayor, please come to the podium and clearly state your name and address. Is there anyone wishing to address council? Myra.
Council, Myra Hoke, 32216 Spots Drive, Black Diamond. Thanks for the compliment. It was so much fun. And it leads me up to some just a quick little point that I would like to make about Hometown Christmas. A handful of people from the museum started this cute little promotion a couple years ago. And we are now ready to take it citywide because businesses and individuals around the entire city, not just in the historic district, are interested in promoting their business as part of this community and part of Black Diamond. So I wanted to bring up a couple other festivals and activities in Black Diamond that strive to do the same thing. We have Miner's Day, Labor Days. We have the Farmers Market and now Hometown Christmas, and I know that there are other events. Here we are at the end of the year, and I know that there's people in our community and in this room who love to get involved with the quality of Black Diamond. And I can say that these festivals, these activities, really do focus in on who we are as a community. They say a lot about our community spirit, about our neighbors, and about what we want the world to see about us. So please, please volunteer with any of these. They are all civic activities. If you need someone to refer you or give you a job description of what any of these groups need, I would be happy to provide that. So something to consider for the new year coming up. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Myra. Is there anybody else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment section. Now, we are having an executive session, and just for the record, that our attorney in this executive session is going to be Susan Drummond with this issue. And this executive session to discuss with legal counsel potential litigation pursuant to RCW 42-30-110-1(i). And how long do you think this will take?
20 minutes.
Okay, so we'll be 20 minutes in executive session.
Is there action to follow?
No action to follow. Okay.
Are we meeting here or over there?
We can stay here.
I think we can stay here. And Carol Morris, you're welcome to leave.
Okay. Have a Merry Christmas, Carol.
Yeah. Happy New Year, too.
Okay, this meeting is back to order. I would entertain a motion to...
So moved.
Adjourn.
My last official...
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Say aye.
Aye.
Meeting is adjourned.
Good night, Dick.